Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, see, look, we start out 2018 with music. What is up, folks? Welcome back to the WSB Traffic Podcast here, our first one of the season, our first one of the year in 2018, and I guess of the season, really, if you think about it. Doug Turnbull here, along with Smile and Mark McKay.
Hello.
And for the purposes of this podcast, Happy New Year.
Yes,
we're
going to
treat like
everyone.
This is the first time we've seen each other all year.
Well, you know what? We're like the president and vice president. We can't be seen in the same place. And so we... Normally, and maybe people find this to be odd, if you talk about our schedules and how we work and the ability to work remotely and work from home, work in our vehicles, I love just coming into what we call White Columns, WSB Radio and Television here on Peachtree Street, and actually see people for the change, because I don't see a lot of people during the week.
Ain't that the truth? And I was thinking, last Friday, you and I went out with some of the guys from Georgia State University that we know, and last Friday, I guess, today is the 26th, that was the 19th, that was the first time we'd actually seen each other this year. I mean, we talked on the phone some, and of course,
we worked together Wednesday and Thursday afternoon, but we're not working in the same building, in the same room, no.
It's kind of weird. So, well, we've already, this year, had some traffic whompers, all right? We've had what we thought was going to be Traffageddon in the college football championship and that impending ice storm. And then we had a good bout of snow and ice last week, the week of, 19th and all of that. And it's just kind of rolled on and on. And then we've had some big traffic problems this week. So I guess I wanted to start it out a little more micro before we get to snow and college football and bottlenecks discussion. And we're talking a little bit about driverless cars here in our limited time together. Smile, on Tuesday, well, you presided over some horrendous rush hours already this week, but Tuesday morning, I think, is a severe outlier to what we're used to with two red alerts.
Yeah, one that we got word of as soon as we got up and running at 4 o'clock in the morning that our colleague Steve Winslow picked up on a number of different levels, and shows the expertise of someone who can listen to scanners and the resources that we put into what we do here to bring traffic both on air and online to you. Picked up on a crash, and he immediately said at 4 in the morning that his feeling and the feeling of first responders was that I-20 eastbound was going to be shut down at the downtown connector through Morning Drive. Well, came very close. The severity of a crash, which I immediately, after pulling up the jam cans remotely from where I sat, looked like the end of a police chase, just because of the amount of first responders that were there. Well, as it turned out, and I think the investigation showed that a driver of a vehicle tried to make an unexplained U-turn on the interstate, was basically exploded by two other cars that came eastbound into it.
So that's what it was? I guess I missed that element of it, and I wasn't working in the morning on Tuesday, but it looked like a driver started out and actually tried to make a U-turn in the middle of the freeway.
Apparently so.
Oh, my gosh.
Word was initially some of the witnesses that Channel 2 were able to talk to witnesses or family members of those who survived that crash that killed one person was that they initially thought they were hit by a wrong-way driver. And, boy, we've seen that recently. And I don't know if there's been an uptick of that, but there's, 85, I think, of recently in DeKalb County, the DeKalb-Gwinnett County line, and a runway driver getting on at Shamley Tucker Road and going northbound in the southbound lanes and crashing out at south of Jimmy Carter Boulevard at Pleasantdale Road. So I thought that was similar. And then, we launched the Skycopter as we do at 6 o'clock and getting over the scene and seeing basically nothing left of the vehicle. So you have an investigation caused by a fatality, someone dying in the crash. And then to top that off, Audrey Washington from Channel 2 was on the scene and caught word from APD that they found a stash of marijuana and guns in the wreckage, so they had to investigate where that came from. So that meant 4+ hours of I-20 being shut down at 75-85.
And so think about it, folks. This is the West Freeway inbound, 20 eastbound, right at the downtown connector after Windsor Street. The downtown connector is obviously a hot destination in the mornings, and so it's shut down there. A ton of people are coming in. Where did the backup from the initial crash extend to, and what kind of traffic procedures were put in place to funnel off and some of that traffic, if any.
Immediately at 4 o'clock in the morning, Doug, they started funneling all light traffic that was coming through that area onto Lowry Boulevard. Well, that's fine
then.
From 4 until 5 o'clock. After 5 o'clock, you and I both know the volume increases. The delays begin after 6. This has been the trend of we're seeing morning drive. We get between 5:45 and 6, we start seeing the typical slowing.
Yeah.
And coming in from that part of the world, out of Douglas into Cobb and Fulton County, are the right lane delays approaching 285. Those who ventured inside the perimeter were starting to hit the wall of traffic as they approached Lowry Boulevard, as everybody was funneled into a very small. And I was so busy with the outlying. I'm not sure. They scattered in the downtown area because there was no getting back on.
Yeah.
And of the ramps that were open beyond Lowry Boulevard, they had to go 75, 85. They had to go southbound.
Okay.
In those southbound lanes.
So they left 75, 85 south open.
It seems like, if I remember correctly, there was some right lane traffic. It was in that ramp. It was at that point where the southbound ramp was accessible if you stayed in the far right lane. But that was only for traffic that was beyond the closure at Lowry Boulevard. So people were getting on and trickling past the crash scene, which was on the left side of the roadway.
It's very disjointed, and I want to talk more about the other red alert in just a second, but I just feel like if you know something's going to be out there a while, if tractor trailer overturns, an investigation ensues because someone's killed, let's put plans in place immediately to seal off the on-ramps, which I know, as you told me earlier, they sealed off the MLK on-ramp to keep people from going the wrong way up. But why would you let people get into a hopeless situation?
That was pointed out to me by Ashley Frasca and Alex Williams and Mark Aram watching the jam cam and seeing people turn around and hearing scanner traffic of APD saying, we need to shut these ramps down. People are turning around because once they get into it, right, they're stuck. The obvious question from someone who looks from above and also looks in hindsight is, why wasn't that closure at 285 to funnel people? That was what we were advising people to do more and more. If you're coming in from the western suburbs, don't even think about, think about 78 and Martin Luther King Jr. Drive as an alternate, but also think beyond that, outside the box, so to speak.
Yeah.
Head southbound on 285 and re-enter. If you're going to the downtown connect, take 166 eastbound.
Yeah, 166 is a great one that people don't think of there through East Point. So it shut down at about 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. and then reopened at
8:30, yeah.
Gosh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
There was never a point where they were forcing traffic onto 285, right?
Even though
the delays began there?
No, and that was what we were wondering. If they could have done that, that would have alleviated all the hopeless situation. But you should have seen Martin Luther King Jr. drive south of I-20 as we flew over. I mean, I don't know. It took a while for that to shake out.
That's incredible. And so that was the first red alert. And I remember one that happened. A pedestrian got hit and killed. We knew it was going to be there a long time on 285 east of Powers Ferry one morning. And that's in Sandy Springs. They worked immediately with Cobb Police to start forcing, to shut down the 75 ramps onto 285 and to force 285 traffic off onto 75. I mean, immediately. They had that in place almost as soon as they knew that was going to be an extended closure. And the foresight for that is just not spread into the metro area. And that's one kind of comment I'm sort of making to my gridlock guy this week about this. And the next red alert we're going to talk about is why can't there be a decision made pretty quickly and uniformly, hey, this is what we do when this happens, to force people off early? And so let's talk about the second one, because this second one was nuts. As bad as this one was, and all as many gruesome pictures as there were of it, and the status, the person that was killed, six people taken to Grady Hospital. Right. At 85 in Jackson County at midnight, there was a tractor-trailer that turned over.
Yep. And not only did that tractor-trailer initially caused problems, then there were subsequent problems with tractor trailers that were heading out of Gwinnett County and continuing northbound and crashing on their own. So at one point, we may have had two separate wet alerts. It was a terrible situation up there that folks heading in the other direction, if they were heading inbound, they had already dealt with a bad situation during the snow and ice. We got our hands on West Jackson Fire Department's drone video on Facebook that we shared with our social media about when the tractor trailers that were sliding off of 85 in that stretch from Chateau Alon trying to get down to the Mall of Georgia. That was one. So back-to-back weeks, this time there's outbound problems in that stretch, which has four lanes, but with a median between two going north and two going south.
Yeah, not much.
That's a recipe for trouble. And Scott Slade looked into it. He and the DOT, they were talking about just the increase in volume that in that corridor is going to result in wrecks. I mean, it's sort of that. And plus, that is a big truck route.
Oh, absolutely.
In the overnight hours. So, yeah, that was bad news, and it just kept getting worse as the morning went on for outbound commuters.
It was an overturned tractor trailer that happened around midnight. I think that one cleared about 5 a.m. or so. But by then, it had caused such a backup that it started spurring those other wrecks that the other wrecks didn't clear until after 8 a.m. And I kept hearing Mark Arum say, you had him stuck on northeast duty like almost every morning he is, but this time he was stuck on that in particular, that crash or set of crashes, and there was like a 15-mile delay.
15-mile delay, and
it was it was just before Highway 53 in Braselton, exit 129, and the delays were back
toward Hamilton Mill Road before at Mall of Georgia Highway 20.
And I noticed him saying that Highway 124 was not, which is right next to the bloody freeway, was not jammed up as an alternate. How is that?
And traffic troopers in that area, those folks who negotiate that area all the time, were finding out that, yes, 124 was a viable alternate. Where are those folks?
What in the world? So. Now, in that situation, when you have 85 blocked for that long, if it's blocked south of 129, let's say, south of Jefferson, you can, if you're coming from downtown Atlanta or coming from 285, you can always go up 985. You angle out to the left, go up 985, and then you cut across either 53 or 129. You can hit 85. Real easy, folks. Write that down. Write that down, Shannon B.
What do you think about commuters and all of us in general just staying with the same? I mean, I love mixing it up. I love mixing life up. I love mixing what I eat different. There are some people that stick with the same
food
route.
Smiling food can.
But there are some folks who just stay with the same route, will not venture out from it, even faced with that kind of predicament, that they'll stay in the same route and just stick with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's no route to it. So WSB's Jennifer Griffiths, let me tell you all a story. Jennifer Griffiths gets off work at 11 p.m. each night. She had a raging headache, didn't turn on a radio. Didn't have the WSB 222 traffic alerts app running. And she got home at 5:15.
Really?
She lives in Jackson County.
I did not know that.
6-hour ride home or so, 5 or 6 hours for Jennifer Griffiths.
I did not know that.
Stuck in the wreck. At one point, Jennifer did something I don't recommend people doing and tried to go the wrong way up one of the on-ramps to get off the freeway. And she said that cost her another hour because she couldn't get through and then just came back down and lost her place in line, essentially. This is what I get to again. Why do cars why are they allowed to just go get in line? At some point, when you know the interstate is shut down, and I'm sorry, Jackson County, but routinely you all take a long time to clear stuff in comparison to Sandy Springs and Alpharetta and some things closer to town. Y'all are right there in the back of the line as far as time goes, okay? And by the way, Time is the name of the organization about incident management that all the agencies get together and they meet once a quarter to come up with ways to do this better and clear tractor trailers and travel lanes faster. Just to throw that in. But when there needs to be a systematic way, to me, if I'm DOT, you get a hero truck or somebody with one of those changeable signs, a portable one, and you put it there at the 985 split, or you use the CMS signs that are up over the freeway, and you say, interstate shutdown ahead, take 985 to exit 16, go east, pick up 85.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't you do that?
And stage a hero unit at 16.
Yeah,
sending him to the, you know.
Exactly,
to the left.
Yeah. If you're on 85 north and you're coming up to Hamilton Mill, you have a sign there. Hey, come here, hang a right, hang a left to 124, take it up to 53, hang a left, back on to 85 north.
Well, I think that's a great idea. What about resources and all of that?
Yes, yeah, resources, but you've got officers, you got people.
You hate it when people get stuck. I
do. And this is not a selfish thing.
You want to help other people.
This is not a selfish thing, and we try. This is why, again, the intuitiveness, I hate this to turn into like an infomercial for our stuff. We put information like this on our Triple Team Traffic Alerts app. We put it on our Twitter feed. We, of course, have it in rush hour every 6 minutes on 95.5 FM. So if somehow you've just happened to cross this, which if you happened to cross it, you probably know enough to listen to our station, use these tools that are at your resources. And the other mapping applications will at least route you around backups, even if they don't tell you if it's shut down or not, or if they erroneously tell you it's shut down. So we just want to say, as much as I'm telling agencies and the government to be prepared, you need to be prepared yourself, drivers. Yeah. That these two were unavoidable. If you got stuck in these, I say it's your bad, really, unless it was at the very beginning of it.
Right.
So, all right. So next subject here for one traffic problem to the next, and we didn't in our very lengthy pre-show planning meeting we have here.
Productive.
The college football and national championship that didn't really intersect with any of you doing right. We didn't have you on extra duty or anything that afternoon I don't think, did you? You got to put your feet up then. But we had all the schools, so we were afraid that Monday, January the 8th, was going to be hell in Atlanta. And at about 11:45 p.m. it was, okay?
Right.
Because Georgia lost.
Right.
But what happened was, is somehow winter weather saved us. Because I was afraid not only of everybody coming to the game and just being a normal, ugly Monday, rush hour-wise, in Georgia, but it was the first day of school back for Georgia State and Georgia Tech. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Things are going to be terrible downtown. And wouldn't you know, all the schools had to close because of the threat of possible ice, which I'm so glad they did that. I don't care that there was no ice. Nothing happened. And it was just a little bit of rain. And it turned out that there was really not a huge traffic problem, which was good for us because the Bulldogs coverage started on WSB at 4. We were going to be very limited except for using the app and Twitter, how we reported it. So we dodged one there. We had the winter weather back in December. We talked about that on the last podcast. But then, Smiling, and this intersects right into your Wednesday morning drive here, last Wednesday morning, that is, we had winter weather come again. And what was that like waking up to for you? I mean, you knew there was going to be a lot of snow. You knew there was going to be some ice. We had temperatures in the teens. And what was that last Wednesday morning, whatever that date was, like for you?
Well, the night before, you know something was coming in and just didn't know, you know, how – As the prediction of the winter weather has been recently, it's which area gets hit the worst, and as it turned out that morning long, we saw it develop, and we saw it out my window, and we saw it developing all over the roadways, and so the call was made obviously quickly that schools weren't going to be in session, businesses were closing, but it was a developing where the snow was out there by the end of I remember seeing blue skies by 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, but then there was a pretty cover of snow and ice that was out there and. No one was going anywhere the rest of the day.
The key difference between this brush with winter weather and the one that actually hit back in early December was the road temperatures.
Right.
The road temperatures, even just as the snow was very beginning to fall, were already freezing. That back in December, we had temperatures that are very mild, and then everything, the bottom fell out and started snowing. We got way more snow than we ever expected. Yes, it was bad in some areas. Most places it was not. It was just a lot of snow, and the roads were nice and black, nice and clear. This one, totally different. It was sticking to the roads because it had been cold, cold, cold like it has been for almost this entire month, except for a couple days. This week's been nice, by the way. And then afterwards, it didn't get any warmer. In fact, it got colder on Wednesday. That it was ridiculous out there. I've actually never. That's the most I've ever tried to drive in ice because I usually when there's ice, we're not flying. But the skies were blue on Wednesday, so we get the call. Okay, we're gonna go try to fly in the helicopter. I was like, all right, and I had to drive 20 miles an hour the whole way, baby myself across some ice, a couple hills I couldn't make it up, had to go a different way. That was tough. And the DOT, however, I thought a great job keeping the interstates passable.
Yeah, and when we then went up subsequently the next morning, Thursday morning, we got over areas such as DeKalb County. There were some roads that literally you see people struggling get up the hills, and they were running into each other. I planned my route around the hills that I thought I had in the way, so I didn't have it as bad because the next morning there was a bit of certainly the well traveled roads were passable, and there wasn't a big deal. But anything that was shaded for a long time That snow lingered well into the weekend. The little spots, here and there, even when it was 60, there was little spots of snow, stubborn snow.
Yeah, it was
snow,
amazing, especially in the shade. And I think it's a lesson for, so Veronica Harrell on our traffic team, who holds down the middays and does PM Drive for us and for KISS 104.1 FM, she's from Michigan. And she was talking to Ashley and me, and she said, look, here's what you need to do. You need to always have some kitty litter. In the car.
Traction.
To put around your tires in case you get stuck somewhere and it'll give you traction to get out. I don't think about snow preparedness, really.
No. It was pretty harrowing for your drive from Tucker to the airport.
It was very slick.
And that's not that far.
No, it's not. I go Henderson Mill to Briarcliff to Shalaford and then to Buford Highway, to Shambly Tucker, and then to Peachtree Cab. And Briarcliff Road, there's a big hill north of Shalford. And for those who are from over there, like around Cravey Drive and Heritage and around there, and going down and getting to the airport was okay, but coming back, there were people that just couldn't get up. And then I tried to go back up Mercer University Drive. There's a big hill there, and I actually slid on that hill. I eventually went down Flowers Road to Mercer and got back home. But I was thinking, my gosh, the Henderson Road Bridge over 285, just like many places in DeKalb, was completely frozen over. I didn't even try that. I used the other entrance to my neighborhood. So South DeKalb and South Fulton, my God. Cowita. South got it worse than the North. And
Highway
this is the thing, you know, Cherokee and Cobb, instead, you know, Hall was pretty bad. Gwinnett had some places. At one point, actually, Gwinnett had like 50 roads that they said were closed. Anytime a county says that they have 50 roads closed, they don't know that they're closed. I want to tell you all that. They send out all these lists. It's not totally true because I could look up different ones and they were open, okay? Gotcha. WSB Jam Cam, baby.
Right, but, right.
But they you know, Gwinnett, I think Gwinnett responded to like a couple of hundred traffic crashes in a 24-hour period. So we're comparing everything to Snowmageddon, which, by the way, is like 4 years ago tomorrow. Let's just throw that out there.
Wow.
It was the end of January. I think it was my mom's birthday, the 27th. So,
how about that?
Yeah. And we compare everything to that, but this was legit. We did not dodge one this time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, just because of the surface streets as being as tough as they were, and the calls were made very early to, we're not going to have school, the buses.
Yeah.
And then the criticism came out, and the cynics came out, especially on social media, about, what was it, Monday morning when everything was dry and gone, you know, any word about DeKalb County schools?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Kind of laughing about that. And I say the first mishap that involves a bus on a back road, you know, that makes all the and the educators, God bless the educators and the administrators who have to make those calls, because I think everybody's now leaning toward caution, even if there's nothing going on.
And here's the deal. And most places were pretty well thought out by Friday. But that we're thinking about the roads. The school property itself, you've got driveways, parking lots, and walkways. And the South DeKalb was a lot worse off than my area, North DeKalb. I mentioned all my specific problems, but we flew over, Wesley Chapel and the Flat Shoals, Snapfinger, Browns Mill area, South DeKalb. I mean, there were some places that people were getting stuck two or three days later.
Yeah,
because
that's what
it was
seeing Thursday morning. Yeah,
hilly. You couldn't get there. And so,
those are the routes where the buses go because kids are being brought back home.
You can't just cancel school in South DeKalb.
Right.
You can now, if one school doesn't have power, they usually shut it down and they send them to other schools for some reason.
Right.
You know. But I think that the next phase in this is going to be, and some counties had this, by the way, is they're going to have to start having remote classes. So you think about it, because of weather, we have had early dismissal, I think it was twice now this year. I'm not mistaken, at least once during the early December snow. You missed almost a full week of school due to Irma.
Right.
And you missed almost a full week of school for whatever the Weather Channel called this that nobody calls it.
Right.
Because it wasn't. It wasn't a storm.
In a week that included Martin Luther King Jr. holiday on that Monday. So
yeah. Poor Sarah had to go to work one day that week.
Oh,
okay,
my
so,
goodness.
Yeah.
That's why she lived up to her name, Nurse Lazy Bones.
Oh, that's correct, too. Yes. She still has it because she uses her vacation days to work on her dissertation. She's a PhD student also. And so she uses those sometimes. And so, like, she used one this week, too. I was like, Sarah, you still haven't worked a full week in 2018. What the? You know, no, but she works hard. Okay, I think the winter weather stuff, we pretty well buttoned up. I would like to see more of a response from the county DOTs. I still feel like it's really scattered. I don't feel like 3 days later, roads should still be completely iced over, untreated.
Right.
You know, that's the thing I don't get is how do you not know 3 days later whether it was a tree that blocked Scott Boulevard to Clermont during Irma or something, or the South DeKalb roads or South.
And tell people that it is local municipalities, local cities. Let's not put all the onus on the DOT that every single road
that's
what I'm talking
in the state
about. Of Georgia. Right. A lot of people put the blame on the DOT for not getting out there.
If it's not a state highway, it's not DOT maintained. It's not state DOT maintained.
Right.
It's county DOT or however the bureaucracy works in their county. And in DeKalb County, they were late getting to my area. There were places that went out, like I said, Briarcliff and Henderson Road, and that just.
So what you have are you have cities, big and small, around the metro Atlanta area in North Georgia, that have to budget or find in their budget some type of snow removal, whether it means using their city dump trucks to put sand and salt in them and spread it out, and not have necessarily full on DOT type trucks that are out there doing their thing. But you know when it's bad when you report, like we did, a salt and sand truck going on its side like it did on 316. That shows that morning how bad it was, and we then can just say if a salt and sand truck that's out there working to clear or keep the roads open flips over, you shouldn't be.
And just to punctuate this one more time, Jackson County 85 was just a disaster zone Wednesday morning. There was just trucks galore. That's It was just weird. This storm, you couldn't peg it to the north, the south, the east, the west. It was sort of a weird, like, J shape. It was northeast was worse than the northwest. Southwest was worse than the southeast, and south was worse than the north. It was really strange.
Yep.
I mean, because the other storm was all about west and northwest. So,
hey, leave me out of the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Jay Black. No,
yeah. That's Jay. Oh my goodness. Hey, so I just missed a call here from one of our traffic reporters in the overnight hours on the weekends, Milani Kai.
Yeah.
I want to give special props to her here before we get back to some traffic stuff. Milani is going to be a talk show host on WSB for the first time tonight. If you happen to hear this before 11 o'clock Friday, January 26th, 11 to 1, Milani Kai is going to be on in an effort. We're just trying to build up our local talk depth chart. And she actually has, I didn't really even know when we hired her how much of experience she had doing talk shows. And the soft-spoken Milani Kai is a totally different persona as a talk show host. Completely different.
Really?
So you've got to listen to this tonight, 11 o'clock, and we'll find some ways. I'm going to make sure to pull that audio
so
she can have that to share online or something.
Some of us might be sleeping or otherwise occupied on a Friday night at
that's
that time.
Correct. I know. I know most of you are not listening to talk radio at 11 o'clock on Friday, but I'm going to do something special, make sure I can listen
now
to the girl Milani.
Now, we doing more with less? Does that mean Milani has to do traffic on her same talk show? On the same do traffic at the same
Steve
time?
Steve Winslow's in tonight.
How about that?
They switched the
veteran,
Friday and Sunday. Yes, yes.
Very good.
Tom Brady himself, Steve Winslow.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. Oh, boy. Listen, I'm so tired of hearing about the daggum Patriots.
He loves his Patriots.
And another little interlude here. We want to say congratulations and thanks to all of you. $56,000-plus raised for Toys for Tots in 2017 via the different fundraisers we had, the disc golf tournament, the Captain Herb Memorial Ride, and, of course, the big Captain Herb Toys for Tots fundraiser at Fred's Barbecue House. Over $56,000.
Big number.
Tractor trailer full almost of toys that it went via Toys for Tots to Operation Christmas, and then the money went to Toys for Tots itself to be distributed in Metro Atlanta. Round of applause for all
wonderful.
Of you for that. And we're going to have much of the same here for 2018. There's maybe some expansion that's going to go on to that disc golf tournament. So, again, pretty big stuff here, pretty big accomplishments for our
listeners
team.
Step up when needed.
Yeah.
Always.
Really great, really great. Big congrats to all of you, and I'm just so glad we're doing the Lord's work with that. I want to jump into another traffic topic here. This one to me is a retread. It's old because now it's the third year in a row that good old Spaghetti Junction, in specific, I think the 285 East ramp to 85 North in the afternoons, but all of Spaghetti Junction gets the top traffic, the worst trucking bottleneck in the United States.
Now, Doug?
Yeah?
In our pre-show meeting, we need to identify Spaghetti Junction for folks who are new here.
That's correct. It's the 285 at I-85 interchange.
You'll hear me ID that every
I
once in a
that.
While.
I love that. No, that's
morning,
great.
You know?
We need
how
to.
Many, I mean, let's not deviate too far, but the names of places, right? We, those of us that have been in this city for a while, grew up in this city, need to realize all the apartments that are going up, the midtown density that we see with people. These are people probably more likely coming in from out of state or somewhere else. We need to remember that sometimes Spaghetti Junction isn't as recognizable for those of us that have been around. But what it is a collection of huge ramps with carrying a lot of traffic. So no surprise that it would get that kind of ranking. Give it again in terms of the trucking industry.
So it's the top trucking bottleneck, the worst trucking bottleneck, and I think it's measured in average miles per hour during certain hours in the United States, third year in a row. And the people that work with the trucking lobbyist organization, essentially, and they were the American Transportation Institute, Transportation Research Institute, to come up with this list. I've gotten to know them over the years through our traffic trooper, Herschel, and so they actually have a picture that I took from the Skycopter of Spaghetti Junction, 285 and 85 in the cab, on the front of this report. But what this translates is, okay, big deal, slow traffic. A couple things to point out. Number one, they measure a loss of productivity. And I wrote a gridlock guy when they had this report last year when it was the second year in a row. And it's a number that's in the billions of dollars because they measure, you know, they measure per mile the fuel cost and how late trucks are getting places. And so the number is in billions of dollars. So when you think about, oh, I'm just late to work or I'm late getting home, if they could put a number on that when it comes to commercial traffic. And so I think that's just something to think about when you see all the work that's going on in the 285-400 interchange, for instance, and the express lanes going up on 75 and Cobb, the ones already open down Yondershine, Henry County. These are an effort to move us faster, but to move freight through town faster. And I think one reason that our freight load is only getting worse in Atlanta is because of the Port of Savannah. That's been dredged. It's been made deeper. there's just more coming through our town and more people living here mixed in. What do you expect? As Natalie Dale said on the news, it is her job to stand up for the DOT and her job to stand up for the roads. It's not because it's such a poorly designed interchange. It's because there's just more people going through the same interchange. How do you get better?
Just thought of something. How big the online shopping, putting more material out there as opposed to people going to brick and mortar stores or malls.
Your Black Friday traffic may be better, but
you know where I'm getting stuck a lot, Doug, are behind these delivery trucks that take up like parts of Monroe, and it becomes a one lane, or as much as they've done on Peachtree, these trucks, and a lot of them are food type delivery trucks in front of restaurants, but these home deliveries, especially the UPSs and such that stop. Try to straddle the roadway and not get on someone's lawn, but still deliver. But now a two-lane street has now become one. How much does the online shopping and the what we've become now, I'm not big on it. I every once in a while do it. But
yeah, I don't do very much at all.
Put many more items in trucks that have to be then delivered. I bet someone do a study on that.
Yeah,
coinciding
that's a great
idea. As opposed to 20 years ago, when everybody went to the stores to get their, you know, what they had to buy, whether it's clothes or food. I mean, I get food delivery. I get everything I need to make a recipe delivered to me, but it's done by a truck.
And if the thing is that should in a way make it more efficient, right?
Yeah,
well, if because it's not one person delivered to one person, it's I'm efficiently going. You know, it's a truck with a bunch of items going to one place or multiple places instead of each person going point A to point B. But that's a great point. Is we're asking for and demand way more from the more than ever from the trucking industry, and the only way that's going to change is either you build more capacity on the roads, or you start flying stuff in on drones, like Jeff Bezos said a couple years ago. Or
I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed that UPS facility up there, just north and east of Spaghetti Junction, that's Pleasantdale Road, and how busy that is.
Yes,
you multiply their location in DeKalb County, just off of I-85 at Pleasantdale Road, to all of the other locations that are out there. And the further out we get, we see these big warehouses out west, you know, that used to be green space. And I've got friends that do not – I call it progress. I'm on this side of it, progress. The other side would call it destruction. People want to keep green space. They want to keep the trees and such. I call it progress if things go up, and it can be overdone sometimes. And, again, we see that whether you're on the ground level or – like we are above the density in Midtown Atlanta and what's become of places that used to have parking lots.
Yeah.
Now have high rises.
Yeah, NCS has built a high rise in downtown instead of
it's encouraging for our economy. It's encouraging for our city. Amazon. Yeah. Could traffic do in that bid to get Amazon here?
That's honestly one of the reasons there's a lot of reasons I'm not super crazy about the Amazon thing, even though it would be a huge medal for the city to wear to say we've won that. But I'm like, look, you can't complain about traffic and then be begging Amazon to come here. Come on. You know, like you just – and you know, there's – by the way, did you hear in Newton County, Facebook is trying to propose a data operations site in Newton County that's going to be just a quadrillion dollars and a ton of jobs out there.
Hmm.
You know, again, I-20 in Newton County, you don't think is – you block one lane on I-20 in Newton County, and you'll see how much traffic's out there.
We've seen that.
Okay? You just block one lane. You get construction middle of the day. You know, you block a lane on 85 in Noonan. It everywhere has traffic, even if it's moving. There is no just deserted place. And so it's just something to consider. When we're begging for all this progress, it comes at a cost. And it also makes more important all your options out there. Now, I've already talked about the tools to be prepared, but then all your options of can you telework? You know, can you do flex scheduling, work one less day a week, work longer hours the other 4 days? Do you have to go to that place? Can you carpool? These are all questions that we need to ask seriously. And in the state legislature, just like it does every year, it's that same state representative too, Brandon Beach. All right, not former Braves pitcher Brandon Beach, okay, just be clear.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to expand rapid transit or public transit, mass transit?
How does city like Chicago that has rail service that goes way out to the suburbs, people come into the inner city. That was established years ago. It seems like the northern tier of cities. The northern tier of cities have that type of setup, whereas as Atlanta, in the next 50 years, we could very well have regional rail transportation going from, say, Noonan up the 85 corridor, way up in Cartersville, coming down, or 400 out of Cumming. I mean, is that where we are headed? We're expanding this area where it's going further and further out, that we will eventually see that type of rail service just in place because it has to.
I'm all for it. I think that in the South in particular, we grew up with such a car culture. Atlanta was a city that came into its own in the 1950s and 60s. New York and Chicago, dated as big cities back. I mean, back into the 1800s,
yeah,
right?
They had subways. Yeah, the subway system established in New York, back then.
So people, that whole thing of I need a car to get around is just not as ingrained in that culture. I think Southern culture in general, that Scotch-Irish, I'm just independent anyway. And I know we're a very diverse culture. I'm just saying the backbone, the people from Appalachia, the people that were here before a lot of people, it's just a really fiercely independent, I'm doing stuff on my own kind of attitude. And I think that's a big building block. I think in the South, generally more conservative states that don't want to have more government spending.
Yeah.
That's another thing. And I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying that's another, the government's going to build the trains. Well, hell, that's part of it. So there's some big obstacles. And then there's, let's face it, MARTA got built along racial lines. Only Fulton and DeKalb had it for a long time because they didn't want people from the inner city coming to the suburbs. Mm-hmm. You got to get that element still exists, even though there's more momentum for mass transit now than ever.
Yeah. Well,
so it's hard.
We'll keep following it.
Labor's way more expensive.
Yeah.
Back then, there was a lot less regulation and there's just a lot going on. Here's one thing to consider, though. San Francisco and Washington, D.C. built their mass transit systems at about the same time as MARTA.
Oh, really?
And although D.C. has a lot of problems with its metro system, it is far and wide.
Yeah.
San Francisco's.
BART, which I've been
everybody's heard
there.
Of BART,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Right, Bay Area Rapid Transit, yeah.
So,
and it goes out. It goes out to Walnut Creek, where I went to a wedding back in the day, back in the 80s. I went out there and first had the experience with that. Clean, very efficient. We'll keep watching along with the lawmakers and those folks who are out here making the decisions about where we head in the future when it comes to transit. But a study like that with that trucking industry just shows, there are a lot more folks on the road. I didn't think about that. Yeah, you do have the people, the commuters who are upset. You don't think about the big rig that has the cargo that has to be at somewhere at a certain time. They're being delayed too.
Yeah, and it means that somebody's not getting their products on time, or it means your Marshalls doesn't have the sweater that you normally, that you wanted to get there. That's what that means. And I think, in some ways, online shopping kind of buffers that. Even though you could track your progress and get stuff maybe faster, now they're not having to worry about stocking in a store.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how this evolves. And maybe the next step in this evolution and something that can help with it is the next and final topic I wanted to traverse here, and that is driverless cars.
Where do we stand with that?
Neither of us thinks like our buddy Mark Arum, who can afford a driverless car.
Well, he said five. Okay. So now we have 2018. We're in the 4 or 3
yeah,
years.
Yeah.
So we're getting closer.
4 or 3 years. Yes, it's toddler. Now I don't think in 5 years everybody's got driverless cars like he said. And he goes, "Hey, Doug, look for another job." That's what he likes to tell me. It's not going to put us out of business. I do think that they are way more reliable than I thought they were. I got to test one, not driving one. I got to test riding around with the owner of one back in September.
What
it
was
amazing.
That sensation like? And
you couldn't even tell the difference.
The
only thing
you
could tell
is quote unquote driver's seat.
I was in
with
the
no
passenger
steering
seat,
so you're on the right side.
And he was sitting there, and it was a car that had wheel and pedals, so he could still drive. At some point, he flipped it into drive. He goes, okay, and we drove up all the way from Midtown to Shambly Tucker up 85 North and back.
Wait a minute, you're driving a. He has a steering wheel, right?
Yes.
Okay, but you could take your hands off of
it. Yeah, he put it into
Tesla's
driverless
have
car.
That ability too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We were in a Tesla Model S.
So
really nice one.
Wow, that would be a strange sensation. And really a frightening one at that.
He said he loves it. He comes to Duluth, to Midtown all the time and puts it in. He goes,
it's one thing
goes
to have
my life is less stress.
It's one thing to have cruise control.
Yeah.
And take your feet off the accelerator or brake when you're on long distances.
That. I've never done that, ever.
No.
I'm afraid to.
Really? No, I constantly on those long trips, take it off, still got the steering wheel, and any kind of braking up ahead or any kind of situation where I have to accelerate and such, I will take it off and immediately get,
smart.
Drive it myself. But sometimes I do hit the acceleration on the steering wheel, if people are flying by me. But I don't know. The safety aspect of that is frightening in some ways.
I guess I didn't realize how it worked. And it does it by camera more than it does. I thought it just had maps programmed. And I didn't know how it accounted for all the other variables. And it reads everything around it constantly. It takes inputs and makes adjustments. But the idea is to make as smooth a drive as possible. as drivers with human error and just with human instinct, we're always trying to switch lanes and maintain speed. And really, if you can actually set driverless cars to how aggressive you want them to be.
Really?
So you could set it, I want to be just at the speed limit, and I did, or and it could do that, and you don't have to worry. And if there are other driverless cars, it makes it even better because they can communicate with each other and make the traffic better.
Well, you mentioned aggressiveness. Does that mean quicker reaction time?
I think it just means how fast do you want to go? How closely do you want to follow someone?
I don't know how a lot of these interstate crashes play out. We sometimes come up right after they happen. Have you ever seen one? I know Captain Herb saw one happen before. There's a famous piece of audio. Whoa, boom, right?
Yeah.
Rarely, I don't recall ever seeing. We come up on them very quickly sometimes.
Right.
The people that cut off, I mean, I think there's so many situations where you see it on the NASCAR. The back end, we're going very fast, right? And then all of a sudden you get somebody in the back end and they turn, they do an unintended pit maneuver.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of these crashes on. How does a vehicle like that make up for somebody who's going to maybe cut in front of you? If you're driving yourself, you have that reaction time of hitting the brakes.
Well, it does. It sees it and brakes.
Wow.
Now, we didn't have too many moments where,
right.
And now he never took over. That's the thing is I can't remember how he told it to get onto Chamblee Tucker. I think he just put the destination in and said, go here or back. I can't remember
that.
But it's incredible. And Teslas are their own thing. But the reason I wanted to bring this up, so there are cars now that are what they describe as level 2 ability of that out of maybe level 4 or 5, where they still have pedals and steering wheels, and you still need some human assistance. And that's what this was. But Google has, you know, Google now is not the owner of all its subsidiary companies. Google is Google. And then the parent company is Alphabet. So another Alphabet company called Waymo, W-A-Y-M-O, they reached out to me last week and we gave me some information. They've just started testing completely driverless cars in Atlanta. And the first phase of that testing is going around in Waymo vans that look like the Google vans that film for Street View.
Mm-hmm.
And they're mapping certain roads in Metro Atlanta. The next phase of that is they're going to be, I don't know on what timetable or to what extent, but testing. Completely driverless cars. Just send it out, it drives. There's nobody in it. And they're hoping that by the end of 2018 in Arizona, Atlanta, they already have 24 other cities where they've been doing this. They're hoping in Arizona, one of the first places they tried, and they've been doing this since 2009, in Arizona, to have a driverless ride-sharing service.
Hmm.
Or ride-hailing, as they called it. You get your app out, you order a car, it picks you up, drives you there, you're done.
Wow.
Drops you off and leaves. No driver.
I can see that down the road.
And they're hoping to have where cars where you just, you're the driver, you want to go sit in the back seat, go sit in the back seat.
Did you get the feeling that the design of like the express lanes up the Northwest or have that in mind with the way they're building?
Well, Commissioner McMurray told us that specifically. Yeah. We're building these separate lanes with the idea that maybe one of these days we'll need to have separate lanes for them. I always thought that driverless cars had to be their own ecosystem. And then I realized when I wrote in one that it didn't, that it reads everything around it. For it to work better, it needs more. If everybody was in a driverless car, the traffic would definitely move better. But I don't think it would get rid of slow traffic, but it would be smoother.
No, because of the sheer volume.
Yeah.
And that's so you're not a believer. I mean, I understand Mark's point about how Netflix was nothing, then boom.
Yeah.
Is this the same thing?
Netflix costs like...
There you go.
Less than $10 a month.
These vehicles cost over $30,000 or something.
Yeah,
like that,
I mean,
right?
These are expensive cars.
$30,000.
And they're getting less and less.
Right.
And they're getting, you know, I mean, it's going to be, but to expect everybody to have a new car in 5 years.
How are the big manufacturers, like the Fords and all of that? What have you heard about development?
I don't know. I've only seen it from more of the private company side. The guy that I rode with in the Tesla, his name is Brian Mulligan, CEO of Applied Information, and they designed the North Avenue Smart Corridor and made all the smart traffic signals that communicate with these cars and tell them when they're going to turn and how fast cars need to go through them and all that. So he was a big believer, and he was just explaining to me a lot about Tesla and how he thinks electric cars are going to be proliferating at the same rate as self-driving cars just within a very short amount of time. And I was going, I don't know, bro. I mean, money. But he was talking about the cheaper versions, the Chevy this, the Nissan that. That at least in the electric car side are very close to be able to go long distances without having to be charged, and then you add in the self-driving element. It's a matter of time because we're less interested in driving now than ever. We're less skilled drivers. We're more interested in our phones.
Oh yes,
and our lattes. Can we talk
next time about banning wireless devices and such, because I know that's...
City of Smyrna, it's there.
Yeah, so
you're allowed one.
We're kind of late in this discussion to talk about that, but that's a whole new one, which...
Well, look, the legislature's 40 days. They're already, 2 weeks into it. By the next time we do this again, we'll know if that's a law or not, probably.
And I think so. I think we're going to go there.
Probably going hand-held. So we'll have more on that in the traffic podcast next time. Before I go, I want to mention a little... I like to do this, and I'm putting you on the spot, Smiling, so I'll go first. I like to do a Captain Herb phrase, thank you for coming. A little thank you for coming I saw out on the roads this past trap of time.
You have something in mind. Go ahead.
I've got one. I was driving into the station here, 85 South at Claremont. It's where it begins slowing. There's the right lane delays getting off at Claremont and a box truck. And I wrote down the name of the company because I was going to throw them under the bus here. And then I forgot what it was. I couldn't find the – I washed off my hand. That's why. Okay. Stopped. Not slowed down and tried to get off. Stopped in the second right lane. That was not an exit lane to exit off at Claremont. Just stopped. Dead center. People started back up behind him. You think, is he in trouble? Or what? No, he just missed the exit. Stopped. Then he continues on. Then he gets up to North Druid Hills trying to figure out where to go, and he just pulls over in the gore. He's just like, I don't know what to do. And I'm going, not only could you cause a wreck, you inconvenience people, it's dangerous. Do you not know you just go to the next exit, come up, turn around? Come on, man.
Come on, man. Oh, there it goes. Yeah. Come on, man.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming would be
the last time I did a thank you for coming was the exact same thing I saw on Spaghetti Junction. So,
oh, that really,
you see what really crawls on me here.
Well, you heard me about delivery trucks in neighborhoods. You'd cut off access.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of construction doing that, and these construction folks who decide that they need to hold up traffic for a long time so their trucks can get in and out. Like that project around Monroe near the Buford Spring Connector as you try to work your way between Monroe and Amsterdam and that area that way. One of my biggest pet peeves has been folks who find themselves in a turn-only lane and decide they're in that turn-only lane, they don't want to go right, so they'll block the lane to get merge in with already stopped light traffic and everybody stuck behind them. Instead of just making that right turn, continue up the next intersection to turn around, they're going to sit there and they're not going to move. And I played that role of not giving anybody a break, even though it's like, no, you're not getting past me.
No.
I mean, I've been that every once in a while. I say, you should just keep going. And that you see the arrows all going right. You've made that mistake. Don't
punish other people for your mistake. Yeah.
Sit there through the light cycle.
And don't be unsafe. I mean, my gosh. When you do that, you create more aggression behind you, even if you're not being that. You're trying to find a hole to pull. It would be nice in cars. If they could, since we have this driverless car technology, it'd be nice if they had a little, you know how ESPN has the percentage chance to win?
Yeah.
It would be nice to have the percentage chance you're going to wreck.
Right.
You know, when you hit 80 miles an hour, which, hey, I have no problem doing that. When you hit 80 miles an hour, it should go up instead of 15, it'd go hit 25. Right. When you're driving in the rain.
There you go.
You're 30. When you're driving in the rain without your lights on, it's a picture of me. So, whatever, you know what
Very
I mean.
Nice.
Oh, I better slow down, boy.
Hashtag.
So you know that's that would be nice. So you know how risky the maneuver you're making is. You know, I'm trying to back up out onto a two lane, double line road with people go 35, 40 miles an hour, and I have to back out of a driveway. It should just go. Broop,
you know what I thought? Driving to work one day very early. What if there was a day without wrecks?
Oh man.
What if there was a day without wrecks? weird thought. That's the kind of thought you have at 4 or 5 in the morning.
That's
a day without wrecks.
That'll be amazing. That's like an episode of Black Mirror or something like
day
that.
Day without wrecks. Gosh, everything's fine. I mean, there are days without wrecks and days without volume.
You're still going to have jams, right?
Right. Yeah, there's going to be a day without volume, but I don't know. It's one of those, wow. And then we had 5 come in at the same time. So.
Right, exactly. Right then, oh, gosh. What are Ashley and Alex and Aaron dragging up now? So, folks, thanks for sticking with us here on the episode 1 of 2018
of
the Traffic WSB Traffic Podcast here. Any parting thoughts for the weekend, Smiley?
Nope. Looking forward to just relaxing and sleeping in.
Amen to that. No football this weekend, guys. Super Bowl's next week. We'll have the Monday hangover after that. So, folks, be safe out there. Thanks for chilling with us, and we'll talk at you soon. Peace out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.